The time is 12:34 p.m. This begins tape number two of the videotape deposition of Mr. Emmanuel Goldstein.
Shows you what's happening to me. Mr. Goldstein, have you seen the document just put before you before today?
Yes, I have.
And when was that?
I believe it was 2 weeks ago.
Did you understand at that time, 2 weeks ago, that... it called for the production of documents?
Yes.
Did you make any search for the documents requested?
Oh, yes.
Tell us everything you did to search for the documents
requested. Well, I searched through a pile of papers in the attic and tried to find as much as I could. I contacted my accountant, got together the back issues you requested, and I think that pretty much covers everything. And I also searched the computer system that I'm on for any email that may have been there or any logs.
Throw away or dispose of or take out of your hard drive any documents at all from the time you saw this particular document?
No.
Did you find anything?
My webmaster found a couple of logs. I believe he forwarded them to our legal team. As far as on the computer system, I searched, I grepped for the ECSS.
You did what?
It's,
I grepped?
Yeah, G-R-E-P. It's a Unix term. Through my email, for anything having to do with the ECSS or DVDs, and there was nothing there. I assume anything I get in the future, I'm supposed to forward.
The documents you found, you gave to your counsel?
Yes.
Mr. Warbus, do you know if those have been supplied to this office?
I don't know what's going on with Mr. Herstadt and you. I presume Mr. Herstadt gave you whatever Mr. Goldstein gave him.
No, we haven't received any documents.
Then I'll find out. I came to the bad time. Herstadt's gone. Whatever Mr. Goldstein gave us that's appropriate, we'll certainly give you.
When did you, Mr. Goldstein, when did you give these documents to your lawyer?
I know all my financial records arrived last week from my accountant. As far as the things from the website, I know our webmaster has been in touch with Marty and Ed on that.
In touch with him?
Marty and Ed, our legal team. And as far as anything else, I don't think there was anything else I can recall.
I had understood we had furnished you with approximately 200 to 300 pages of information. That is similar to the information that had been in Mr. Goldstein's affidavit on the motion. I had understood it was sent to you by separate letter. We can check that with Mr. Herbstadt.
Okay, because as of last night, no one in this office on the team had received any documents. But I appreciate you checking.
Mr. Olson, do you know any reason why your attorneys wouldn't have turned those over before today?
I know that my accountant had been away and hadn't gotten my message until last week, so he wasn't able to FedEx the documents until late last week, so that might be a reason for that. Also, I brought in the back issues you requested. I brought those in today, actually. So that's my fault.
Turning to page 7, number 1, what documents do you now exist relating in any way to the 2600.com site?
I'm not sure exactly what documents you had in mind. Again, it was something our webmaster was dealing with. As far as documents that are on the site, we're prepared to give you an entire snapshot of the site, which would be every page that is there.
From, and that would include pages relating to what issues?
Well, the site is not having to do with the issues. The site is a website. That would include all the news articles ever written on the site. That would include, well, it couldn't include the radio shows that we have up there because that's an audio format, so I don't know how that would work. Basically, a lot of documents related to this case, a lot of documents not related to this case. That's, you know, that's what you want, we can furnish you with those as well.
And now, when you saw this document and didn't understand what it meant to ask for all documents concerning the 2600.com site, did you put in a call to your lawyers?
Yes, I talked to my lawyers, I also talked to my webmaster, and told them to work it out.
And did your lawyers tell you what it meant?
I believe so. I believe it was basically...
Oh, any conversations between...
Yeah.
What did your... I don't know that this is instructions on how he was to make the search, I think, are not privileged.
I think the rejection should be one.
You don't know that rule?
I think the judge should rule on it. I think we may disagree.
Are you saying that those are privileged?
I'm saying it was a conversation about documents. Then some of it may be privileged, some of it was just functional, may not be privileged, but there may be privileged conversations within that. I would exert the privilege and then you get a ruling.
I'm just trying to find out what the witness was told about what documents to produce.
I presume he was told he was everything he could.
Yeah, everything I could on the website, except there's one big omission. You say all files made available for download from October 1st, 1999. You do realize we can't give you DACSS because that's no longer on our site.
Now, you say that when you didn't understand what you were to look for with respect to number one, you called your lawyers.
I don't know if I said I didn't understand, just I wanted to make sure that I understood correctly that it was basically a snapshot of the entire system, which is no problem at all.
Did you give that to your lawyers?
Again, that's something our webmaster would do because he has much better technical knowledge.
I presume he's told to do it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what did you tell your webmaster to produce those things?
That was shortly after I got this document.
So where were they, or have they been produced to your lawyers? Where are they?
As far as I know, they have been produced.
Those are the approximately 300 pages that you were...
I don't know if it's 300 pages. It's a lot of pages. I'm not sure exactly how many.
I see. So though, did your lawyer define for you what number one?
So you'll get everything that...
We're waiting.
That he can download.
We gave you over 10,000 documents and you complain it isn't enough, even though you haven't read 10,000 of them.
Mr. Gold, you've made your...
And we asked you for a couple of documents and they're not here.
Mr. Gold, you've made your record.
I what?
You've made your record.
What does that mean?
My understanding is that...
I know what your understanding is and I know what you're doing.
Good, so let's move on.
Okay. Now, did your lawyer give you any description of what you should produce with respect to item number one?
I think I already understood what I had to produce. I think you wanted...
Well, then why would you have called them to ask them what it means?
To clarify that I understood correctly that...
Did you do that with number two?
Number two.
Did you clarify what your understanding of number two was?
Well, number two is documents that grant us the right to copy motion pictures. I know we don't have documents that tell us we can copy motion pictures, so I don't
see
any.
So you knew what number two was, mm-hmm. and you didn't have to ask anyone. Is that right?
Well, it was pretty obvious that those documents didn't exist.
Well, when you knew what one meant, and since you knew what it meant, why did you have to ask about it?
To clarify, to make sure that you wanted a copy of everything on the site, and that's what we were going to do, and that I was going to ask the webmaster to provide you with that. You should understand that the people who work on our site are basically in school, and sometimes they're not easily reachable. We've tried as hard as we can to get these documents, and we want to be thorough. We want to make sure we didn't just give you a couple of things. We want to make sure you got what you were asking for.
So does that mean, with respect to number one, you have not yet finished contacting all of the people you'd want to contact?
There's one person, and I've contacted that person. That's our webmaster.
Well, what about all these people you refer to who work after school?
I'm saying people who I'm in contact with, and the webmaster is one of them, or people who are not, they don't have full-time jobs with our site. So I have to find where they are. I have to email them. It might be a couple of days before they get back to me sometimes, but it is our intention to get you every document you've asked for.
Have you already done that?
As far as I know, that has already been submitted, as far as I know.
To?
I believe it's been emailed over to the legal team.
Your legal team?
Yes.
Who is on your legal team, other than Mr. Garbus and Mr. Hernstadt?
Those are the two names I know. I mean, I know there are more people working on the case.
And is it true that three would have been a part of number one that you've already produced?
Yes. That's something that I would have immediate control over because you're asking within my possession. And so I did that search on my system where I get my email.
Well, it would relate to you or the company.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Sorry.
I gather.
Right.
And you've searched for any possible documents around?
I searched them throughout my email.
To the company.
Well, if you mean did I search other people's email, that doesn't belong to the company.
What does the word other people mean in that?
We have, the system 2600.com is what's known as a shell machine. It's used by people who write articles for the magazine. It's used by people who are affiliated in one way or another, whether they do covers, they're artists, they're writers, they help us out in some way technically, and they each have an account on the machine, and they receive the email there, they have their files there, and it's not our position to claim ownership over those files, over that email. I know many companies do claim ownership, and we just don't subscribe to that philosophy. So the way I took number three to mean is that I should look through my possessions, my email, my files, for anything having to do with the ECSS, which is what I did.
Can you name the people that you refer to?
Not all of them.
Well, name as many as you can, sir.
We're talking several dozen people here. I mean,
take a shot.
I can give you usernames of people, but I can't place names to them. I mean, is that enough for you? Because the way our community...
What is the username?
A username is what you log in as. For instance, my username is Emmanuel. All right.
Why did that custom go? Why don't people use their real names?
Well, for one thing, the way the system is set up, you can't type in a full name. The way the net works, people choose handles. And basically, it's your identity on that particular computer system. You may choose a different identity on a different system. You may use the same identity everywhere. You may use your real name. People do a lot of mixing and matching. What I'd be happy to do is give you a user list on our system. And that's not what you asked for, so I didn't provide that. But if that's what you want, I'll happily give you that.
Thank you. We are requesting it.
Sure.
And all those names would be on that list?
The names of the logins. You have to understand, I don't even know a lot of people's names. I don't need to know. I don't ask. But what I can give you is, this sounds like something it's not, but I can give you our password file, which basically is a list of all of our users. It doesn't contain the password. It contains the encrypted password, which is a good form of encryption, I believe.
That seems to me a press issue here as to exactly what he's turning over and whether a member of the press should be required to turn this over. I'll just take it under advisement. I haven't thought out the ramifications of it.
Part-time people that work for 2600 and who go to school during the day, how many of them are there?
Well, there are lots of people. I wouldn't say they're part-time employees or employees in any sense. They're volunteers, people who help out whatever way they can, whether it's writing an occasional article or submitting something of interest to us or advising us in some way. There are people from all different age groups, all different parts of the world. It's impossible, and I don't think desirable to know exactly who they are, where they are, you know, what their social security number is. It's not what we're about.
So, do you pay any of them?
The only people we pay are the office staff and the people who do things like design covers or print the magazine.
Well, the office staff consists of one person?
One person, yeah.
Okay. So you don't pay any of these part-time people?
No, we don't consider them part-time people. We consider them volunteers that do what they can when they can.
And do any of the volunteers live in the greater New York area?
It's possible. I mean, I imagine so. Yeah.
And do you have these volunteers listed somewhere, however you list them?
We have a staff list, which we put in the front of the magazine, and that list writers, you can get a pretty good sense of who volunteers there, what they do.
That would constitute about, in any one issue, about what percentage of the volunteers?
Actually, that's probably more than the people who volunteer at that particular time. I mean, at any one time, for instance, we have a conference coming up in, you know, in a month. We have a few dozen people who are going to be working different things, whether it be hooking up a network over there, running security, doing various other things that you have to do when there's a conference. Nobody's getting paid to do this. It's something they all want to do. That's something that happens at this particular time because we're doing a conference. What happens in the fall will be completely different. We'll have people who write articles, people who, you know, who submit various things to the magazine, people who let us know what's going on, tip us off on a story.
And the names of every one of these people is listed in at least one issue of your magazine?
The names they want to go by, yes. We don't require that they give us their real names or that we even know who they really are. It's not our place.
Why not?
We're a magazine. We print information. And that's where we draw the line. I mean, if somebody wants to be, you know, known to us, then they'll introduce themselves to us. But we're not going to force our way into people's lives and demand to know who they are.
So the New York Times and the Sacramento Journal and all other publications that I know about know who works for them. They have their names. Why wouldn't you?
We're not the New York Times. We're a magazine dealing with technological issues. Lots of times articles are written by, you know, by kids, by people from other countries. We don't run our operation the same way as the New York Times or as many newspapers or magazines.
I'm sorry, did I cut you off?
We allow people to use what I described before as handles, which is basically you make up your own name, you define yourself, and that's perfectly okay with us. A newspaper like the New York Times, obviously, they want your real name because they're paying you. They have to have all your documentation, your social security number, all that kind of thing. And that's, you know, that's perfectly okay, but that's not what we do.
Well, some of these no-named or fictitious-named people that volunteer write articles, don't they?
Yeah, some people do.
Yeah. But, and wouldn't you want to know how to find them in case you had a problem because they printed something that was a total lie?
Well, that's why we... For someone who writes more than one article, we give them an email address in our system. So that's how we contact them.
And you have a list of those email addresses?
That's what I was describing before.
And you're going to provide, can you provide those?
I can provide you with a list of the users in our system, yes.
Yeah. And you say you're not interested in the name of anyone who just writes one article for you?
No.
I see. Is that true or false?
I'm not interested in anybody's real name. It's not relevant to what I do. We have people who write letters to the editor. And, you know, we don't consider them staff people, but it's something that appears in the magazine as well.
Well, other than letters to the editor, mm-hmm. if someone writes a story for you that you print, but mm-hmm. they only write one, mm-hmm. you don't want anything from them, any way of finding them or contacting them?
Other than an email address, there's no need. We give people who write to us a free subscription. So that's basically what we do.
So a one-time author, he's lost forever?
If he doesn't write to us again, yeah.
Uh-huh. Isn't it true that you print the names of people who write letters to the editor?
We print whatever name they sign. So It's very rare you'll see somebody's real name signed to a letter.
That's sent to your publication?
Right.
I see. Do you have any standard procedures you use to check on the truth of articles that you write in your publication?
Yes, it depends on the article. I mean, there are many different things, but we'll test things out. We'll make sure that the person knows something of what they're talking about, that the system that they're describing really exists, that the theories they're talking about seem to make some sort of sense. It's different with every article.
You don't check outside sources, just the writer?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, in terms of your diligence,
mm-hmm.
When you're about to print an article, do you do any checking other than with the person who wrote
it? Oh, of course. Yes, of course. To see if they're describing a particular computer operating system. Of course, we check to see if the operating system exists. We check to see if what they're describing, many times what people write is theoretical in nature. So we check to see if the theory seems to be a valid theory, not necessarily whether it will work, but whether it's conceivable.
So. Now, have you written articles about any of the plaintiffs in the last 6 months?
Other than ourselves?
Have any articles or writing mm-hmm. appeared in 2600 about any of the plaintiffs?
The editorial is what, and some letters to the editor.
Have you ever checked with any of the plaintiffs about anything you wrote?
I'm not sure what you mean.
You ever call them up and...
Have you checked with the MPAA and ask them what they're saying about them?
No, I didn't say the MPAA, I said any of the plaintiffs. Those are the movie studios.
Right, well, what I write is an opinion piece, so...
You don't check?
I don't think I have to check with somebody if I write an opinion piece.
Does your opinion piece ever contain any facts? Any statements of fact?
It contains my interpretation.
Of statements of fact?
My interpretation of facts, yeah. Uh-huh. I consider that...
And you believe that they're right? When you
my opinion that they're right, yeah.
Yeah, but they're right. And you have his answer.
My opinion that they're right.
Yeah. Well, did you ever try to contact any of the movie studios or MPAA about any of the statements you've written in the last year?
I haven't been writing about the MPAA for a year.
I'm sorry.
I haven't been writing about the MPAA for a year, only since they filed suit against us. I don't think it's appropriate for me to be contacting them if they've filed suit against me.
Who told you that?
That's my opinion.
So the answer to my question is no?
Have I contacted them? No.
Oh. Simple answer. Truth is simple. Okay. Have a nice one.
I think Mr. Gold
off the record now?
Yeah, you go.
It's 12:57 p.m. We're going off the record?
Yeah.
I think we do in fact some things have come up this morning.
The time is 2:08 p.m. We're back on the record.
Mr. Gould, let me tell you, I had checked during the intermission. My recollection that we had furnished you with a material that comes within point one was accurate, namely that in the affidavit of Emanuel Goldstein that had been submitted on the motion, we had furnished you, as I understand it, with all documents concerning the 2600 website as it existed since, I think, about November 12th. With respect to the other information, we are still trying to get that for you. But my understanding is that that information had been furnished to you a good while ago.
As an exhibit in Mr. Corey's
yes, affidavit? Yeah, yeah.
Well, we have that.
Yeah. So I'm saying that has been furnished to you. My understanding is...
And this is a room with a table also, but now what about all the documents that the witness gave to you that he said that you said you hadn't produced?
Those, Mr. Hernstadt, as I understood, was furnishing it to you, and you'll presumably get it by today or tomorrow. I don't know anything about it.
You know why it hasn't been produced for the last week?
I presume because Mr. Hernstadt has been busy doing other things.
Instead of producing documents to us? Yeah, I would guess that. I just didn't understand what your statement had to do with the fact that you hadn't produced the documents you were talking about.
Because you have to understand that you have 90% of the documents.
How do you know? You've never seen them, have you?
Of course I have.
Okay. Mr. Orvis, we would like to hire an expert and get access to the witness's hard drive for the expert to download certain things that Mr. Gordon says you can't download.
Mr.
Who says? Mr. Goldstein, I apologize.
I'll take it under advisement.
When will you tell us? Because I'd like to know tomorrow.
I'll try and tell you tomorrow.
Okay. We would, in doing that, we would only ask for the production of whatever relates to DECSS and CSS.
So if there's nothing on the hard drive that relates to either of those two things, we don't have an issue. So the first question is whether or not
there's anything on the hard drive.
In other words, let's assume there's nothing on this hard drive.
We won't know until we get an expert into...
In other words, you won't take his representation that there's nothing on this hard drive that relates to CSS or DECSS and may contain other information, some of which you clearly ought not to see.
He hasn't got any idea what's on the hard drive.
In any
he was trying to search it, and he felt he couldn't.
The first thing he should do is determine what's on the hard drive.
He said he couldn't do that. You weren't here this morning.
I was here this morning. I was here.
Well,
this
I mean,
I was here this
actually.
We will take your request under advisement.
But what your witness has testified, if you were here, was that he didn't feel
can't
he could
you,
pull down.
Yourself?
That is a funny question. I join your laughter. You want to weigh how much time you took up today against how much time I'm taking up now? Your witness, as you know, testified this morning that he didn't think he could pull anything down from his hard drive, that he had tried before and couldn't do it, that it wasn't set up in order to do that. I found that surprising in light of what I read in the papers all the time about other people's hard drives, but I'm not a hard drive expert. So I wanted, so he said that he didn't think it could be done, because he had tried to do it. We want to get somebody in to actually see if that's true and whether he can get something.
We'll take it under guard.
But
I want to say something.
Well, can I say something at this point? I get maybe 1,000 pieces of email a day. I'm not quite sure how somebody is going to go through all the deleted mail, which has probably been overwritten by new material since then over the past several months, and track that. I mean, it's not possible.
Well, that's
if it were possible, it would take you years, but I don't think it's possible at all.
Well, we'll take a crack at it if you permit us to. That's an unfortunate word. We'll take a shot at it, and we'll see if that's right, and if there's anything that he can get out that's relevant, he or she, then we'll ask for its production.
As I said, I will take it under advisement. I'll try and make a determination. If I can make a determination by tomorrow, I'll tell you. If it requires something more than that, I'll also tell you.
Okay, well, I hope we hear from you tomorrow. I think all of this has been lost.
Is that right?
Okay, let's start again.
No, you have it.
You have it going.
Did that policy come out on that?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Oh, okay.
A good mic.
Even though the mics were away from us?
Yeah, first
goes to show, yeah. I take it that all of the material you attached to one of your affidavits was material relating to sites that 2600 was linking to, not material related to 2600.
That's wrong. I don't believe so.
I assume you're familiar with the affidavits we submitted to Case.
That's wrong.
Is this the only one? Well, in paragraph 5 of your June 14th declaration, says, as I stated in my previous declaration in support of this motion, the sites containing DECSS, mirrors to which we currently link, are very diverse in nature. In particular, many of these sites provide a variety of legitimate information concerning topics related to this case in DCSS, and are thus more than just mirrors setting forth the DSS code. Annexed hereto, as Exhibit C, are copies of the first page of the mirror sites currently listed on 2600.
Mm-hmm. It's a list. Not the entire site, that's a list of the sites.
Yeah, but the what we have in that bulky exhibit are copies taken from those sites that you linked to, right?
I'm not sure. I haven't.
Well, here they are. This is what Mr. Barbas must be talking about. It may be, yet again, that he has committed an error.
In other words, are there anything here from you, or is it just from the mirror sites?
That looks like, yeah, those are different sites. There's a list.
Well, Mr. Yeah,
these look like samples from other sites.
Eh bien, what do you say now?
If I'm in error, then I'm in error. In other words, if you're telling me that we didn't give him that, then we should certainly give you that. I had understood we had given that to you.
This looks like an indication that the sites are diverse in nature and have all kinds of other material in right. addition to DECSS. I think that's the point of submitting this.
Right.
Well, was there another stack of documents?
I had thought there was. I had thought I had seen a set of documents which were everything that we had done from from, let's say, November until now. When I say everything, I mean some of the 2,600 editorials.
Actually, I see it over there. I see that stack right there. Those are our editorials. That's what we would have given you. It's really not that much. It's everything we've written on the website from November until now.
I thought we had given that to you. If I'm in error, you'll certainly get it.
Can you state for the record, perhaps again, mm-hmm. what it is you think you've given us?
Be specific. You've seen this. Don't. If I am in error or if they haven't received it, don't get in that. Just describe what's in this packet.
Is it all right if I ask the question?
Go ahead.
And without directions.
Well, but you're misleading the witness, Mr. Gold.
Yeah, but you shouldn't.
Go ahead.
You know how to object.
Go ahead.
And you shouldn't tell the witness what to say. You really shouldn't.
Mr. Gold, please. Continue.
As far as I know, obviously we gave you this, which is a description of various.
Did you give us that? Do you know that?
Well, from what you've told me today, yes.
Well, do you know that? You have it in front of you. Did you give it to us?
I remember we went through to find samples of other sites, but this was quite some time ago. So it was a couple of months ago. I also know that we've gone through every single news item that we've written on the sites, and I presume that was submitted to you as well.
By who?
By our lawyers.
When did you give those to your lawyers?
I think we've gone through those several times, actually. I mean, we're trying to...
I don't know who the we is, sir.
Me, my lawyers, our webmaster.
I've gone through the stuff you wrote for your website.
The news items on the website, yes.
The ones you wrote?
The ones I've written and the ones that were written by other people as well.
So you say there was a group or a stack of papers that are taken, or pictures taken from your, or copies taken from your website?
They're basically just articles, yes.
They're taken from your website, and they're articles or editorials that you've written.
Yeah.
And then you gave them to your lawyer, that stack. Is that true?
We either gave it to them or told them exactly how to print them out. I mean, anybody can do this. You just go to the website and print.
Then I take it you're not sure you gave them this stack.
There have been so many papers floating around, I don't know if those are the ones that I handed to them or if I just said, this is how you print them out, but I know we've been over this.
Mr. Gold, let me just say one thing. Anybody can just go to the site and download it. My memory is that Mr. Goldstein told us how to do it. We did it, and I thought we had given those documents to you. If we have not, you'll get it. They're available to anybody who wants to get it.
I see them here, though. I mean, either we gave them to you or you printed them out yourself, so I'm not quite sure.
Something we printed yourself.
Okay.
But you don't remember, I take it, that you gave a stack of those stories or editorials to your lawyer?
I know we've gone through it at some point, and I'm fairly certain that all the papers have been submitted that we're supposed to submit. I can't give you a time and date of every single one we did.
Why are you so certain?
Because I've been going through this for quite some time.
But what does that mean they were given to us if you sat and went
through? I'll object to this. This is totally unnecessary. I'll direct the witness not to answer.
You don't want to let him answer any more questions about the production?
No, I'm not going to let him answer that question. It's badgering him. He said he gave the papers to us. And what happens, whether the papers go from us to you or not, is not something he should be badgered on. What I'm telling you is that it's my understanding we gave it to you. It's also totally on the public record. It's not anything that's being withheld. And you have indicated that you have some of those documents. Anybody can download it.
Are all those documents downloadable now, or are some of them lost?
No, we don't erase anything on our site. That's on the website.
What about the email? That's not on the
email website. Email's not on the website.
Right. I gather, Mr. Gorbis, you don't know whether those documents were given to us personally.
My understanding is that they were. But I could be wrong, and if I am wrong, you'll get the documents. But they're public knowledge. Anybody can get them. Nothing has been withheld from you.
Turning to item number 8. Did you search for those documents?
Yes, this is the email that I grabbed through and looked for any mention of those words.
And what?
I grabbed and looked through any mention of these words.
And where did you look for them?
On my home system, 2600.com.
What's it called?
2600.com. But I should point out, I, as a rule, don't save mail. It clogs up the system. And as far as chat rooms, I never save anything from chat rooms. That's gone as soon as it's sent, and that doesn't even get saved to hard drive ever.
Do I take it you look through every one of these 26 categories and made, I'm sorry, there are 31 at page 12. You've looked through all of these 31 requests?
Yes.
And made searches for everything within them?
Yes.
And they would either be on your computer or in a stack of papers in your basement?
Yeah, either there or on the computer or just non-existent.
How high is that stack of papers in your basement?
Pretty formidable, but...
3 feet or 10 feet?
It's more like mailbags filled with information. And it's basically old financial records, things like that. It's all pretty well labeled, so I had no trouble finding... I had no trouble finding old financial records. Yeah. So...
Each document there is labeled?
Well, we put them in envelopes. We put them in envelopes and label what they are. So if it's a, you know, tax return from this particular year, that's where you find it.
What are the other categories?
Basically, subscriber email, not email, subscriber mail. People who send mail to us wanting to subscribe. We save that. Old bills that we pay, things like that.
What other things are there?
That's about it. It's just there's an awful lot of it that accumulates over the years.
So you say some old emails?
No, not emails. Just mail. Regular old paper mail that gets sent to us. Someone writes us and says they want to subscribe. We save that for in case you know, they needed to access it in the future.
What is the Electronic Frontier Foundation?
EFF is an organization that basically keeps an eye on the various laws being passed that affect electronic liberty and freedom and that kind of thing. This sparked their interest.
What does electronic freedom mean?
What's my opinion?
When you use it, yeah.
Basically, having the same rights on the net as you have in real life, off the net. And also keeping an eye out for privacy invasions by whatever powers it be.
Does it relate to any rights you have with respect to DVDs?
They saw the...
Back to the form of the question.
Go ahead. They saw the lawsuit against us as something that they wanted to challenge.
They saw who's that?
EFF.
I think you said the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Right.
Supports having the same freedom on the internet one has in real life. Is that correct?
Well, that's my interpretation.
Yes.
I'm not quoting them saying that, but that's...
Just want to make sure I didn't misquote you.
That's what I believe.
Okay, and does that relate to DVDs, I asked you? Can you answer that yes or no and then explain it?
Yes, in this case, because the whole concept of fair use, the whole concept of being able to engage in free speech, it's related to this whole DVD issue.
What speech is being attacked?
I'll object to the form of the question.
Speech in the form of source code, speech in the form of being able to communicate openly about encryption and to compare techniques of encryption. So it's basically how that relates to speech.
Did you have any communication you received from Roman Kazan or Sean Ramirez?
No, I've never. I mean, I spoke to Roman Kazan in person at the Linux Expo in, I believe it was January. And the other person I've never met.
What did you talk to him about?
Well, hadn't seen him in a while, so we talked about a bunch of things. He's a friend of mine from years ago. And basically, he runs an internet service provider. Basically, he has a lot of customers that use his system. And he was just very worried about having to deal with a lawsuit and having to expose his subscribers to that. And that's eventually why he dropped out of the case.
Now, the stacks of paper in your basement, you said many of them related to financial information?
Attic, yeah.
And in the attic, I'm sorry.
Just, you know, tax returns, a lot of stuff that my accountant already has and has better copies of. Receipts, so, things like that, you know, just I like to save things.
Turning to 26. Okay. Turning to 26 in that document, sir, page 11. Mm-hmm. Did you understand that to ask you to produce all your financial records?
Yes, and that has all been produced.
It's all been produced.
Well, it's produced to us.
Right.
I'm asking your witness. I didn't ask for your understanding. I'm
just
asking your witness.
Stop it. Just stop
not
it.
You.
Just stop
don't
it.
Don't answer
stop
questions.
You should be
for your
yourself.
Witness.
Go ahead.
Mr. Garbus. Thank you. What's your answer?
They were produced to our attorneys, yes.
Yeah. And where are they now?
I imagine they're still there. They were produced late last week.
You've taken them all out of the stack.
No, actually, I verified that my accountant had better copies of that. I figured those are the ones he wanted.
Your accountant sent them to your lawyers, or you got them?
I contacted our accountant, and he FedExed them, I believe, last Thursday. So they should have received it on Friday.
Haven't turned those over, have you, Mr. Morris?
I would have to speak to Mr. Hernstedt.
You don't know?
I don't know.
I know at the time they came that my attorneys were in California, so that probably accounts for why it may have taken...
I'm sorry, I know at the time...
My attorneys were in California, so that probably accounts for any delay.
turn to page 9 of the document, Mr. Wilson. Number 14 at the bottom. Did you understand what that called for?
Yes.
And what was your understanding?
Those are log files.
Yes.
Those are files that basically show who hits your website, how often, what pages they look at. I talked to my webmaster about that, and since, I believe it was since last summer, we haven't kept log files. I know he found a couple of test log files that he ran, I believe it was sometime this spring, but we had a problem we had so many hits coming in that it caused problems with our site, because what you do with log files is you go through them all, and you come up with percentages, you say this many people from this kind of a site hit this particular page, and we did this once a week on Sunday nights, and it turned out that what happened on Sunday nights, there was so much activity and these files became so big that our system would crash. And after a while, visitors to our site from years ago would remember that we had a counter on the front page that says how many people had gone to the front page. Every time the system crashed, that number would go back down to 1. And it got kind of embarrassing after a while that our large number was always going down to 1. So we just said, enough, it's not worth it, let's just stop, because, you know, we have a lot of people visiting the site, that's what's important, and the logs really don't matter that much. And they really don't, because we don't care who's visiting our site, we don't care what they're looking at. Obviously people are visiting the site, that's all that really matters. And plus, we just don't have the staff to deal with this. If we were a big company, we had a lot of people, we could give somebody the job of watching over the logs and making sure the machine doesn't crash. But basically we're talking about 2 people running this thing.
Well,
so it wasn't worth it.
Your webmaster took 2 tests.
He,
I couldn't remember the word you used, 2 tests,
yeah,
something or other.
Test log files.
Test log files.
Mm-hmm.
And where are those?
I believe he submitted those.
To
our attorneys. I believe they were submitted late last week, maybe even early this week. I had a little bit of trouble getting a hold of him. But I know he did submit them.
You submitted the originals and not copies?
You can't really do that. It's
right.
A file. So he sent a copy of the file to our attorneys, yes.
And Mr. Roberts, have you turned those over to us yet?
I would have to speak to Mr. Hurst.
Because if you have, we don't know about it. Oh, by the way, I did want to mention on the record, since we had put so much on the record earlier on the subject, you had several times made an offer to continue the deposition today for the rest of the afternoon while some of us went to court. And I said I thought that I had to be in court, which I still think I have to be. But I did say after a bit that we could do that. But you've changed your mind, I gather. You don't want to do that.
Well, what I determined was that issues came up this morning that if Mr. Hernstedt did not know about it, he would be at a disadvantage, so I ought to be there. And in exchange for that, I had suggested that we start early tomorrow morning so that if we've lost 2 hours, Mr. Goldstein and I would be prepared to start at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning or 7:30 to make up for the lost hours this afternoon.
And do you remember
and you
that?
Indicated to me you could not do that.
Do you remember that Mr. Hernstedt was here all morning?
Yes, he was here all morning. He left when he had to prepare his argument
right.
For court this afternoon.
So what came up this morning that he wouldn't know about?
What came up this morning that he would not know about is the whole question of what documents were produced and what documents were not produced. In other words, your discussion, basically, of this document, plaintiff's first request for production of documents, which has fundamentally been in Mr. Hernstedt's hand, came up after Mr. Hernstedt left. And you make all kinds of implications about Mr. Hernstedt did do or didn't do.
And well, I'm very capable of
saying
precisely. And
he should have knowledge.
I'm very capable of saying precisely what each of you have done if I knew. And you won't have any questions about that if I actually have evidence that something untoward took place. You'll know that I'm making that claim. You won't have to impute it.
Mr. Gold, this is kid stuff.
Yeah.
It's just posturing.
Right. What option does one have with me?
One always has the option to be above it.
I'm going to ask you, Mr. Gorbis, to specifically represent whether you're going to turn those documents that may not have been turned over to us, over to us tomorrow.
I'll take it under advisement.
You won't tell me that you will?
No, of course. I will turn over to you, and I thought I've made it very clear, any document that comes within the ambit of this request. You've asked for documents going back. I'll just go down through it. We will give you absolutely everything.
When?
As soon as we can get it. Now, to the extent that Mr. Hernstadt has it, no. To the extent that Mr. Hernstadt has it, you will get everything by 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock tomorrow before the deposition starts.
Gee, I understand that. Thank you.
To the extent that we leave court early, you can get everything that Mr. Hernstadt has by 6 o'clock.
I understand that also.
This evening.
And thank you.
So that if we get out of court at 5 o'clock, I would hope that Mr. Hernstadt would come back to the office. I do not know whether these documents are bait stamped or not. All the documents that the witnesses referred to, I presume, arrived while we were in California doing the deposition of Mr. Hoy. I don't know whether they've been bait stamped or not, but we'll make every attempt to bait stamp them and get them to you as soon as feasibly possible.
So maybe not tomorrow?
Oh, no. The question is whether we get it to you tonight at 6, but certainly by tomorrow morning. To the extent that we have them. Now, my understanding is, I don't know whether we have, given the breadth of your requests, all of the documents you're referring to, but we will give to you everything that we have. Anything that came from Mr. Goldstein to us, we will make sure that you have. Again, my understanding being that in the previous motions, we supplied you with about 200 pages or 300 pages of the exact same material you're seeking, including those documents which Mr. Goldstein referred to in his affidavit, which you have on the table, and also the articles and editorials that were written at 2600.com, some of which you have already used in the cross-examination of Mr. Goldstein. We've also given you, as I understand it, copies of the Hacker's Quarterly at some time before today. Okay.
Was that one or two sentences?
I stated it as one sentence without commas or dots.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Goldstein, what hacks, to your knowledge, has 2600 ever reported on?
I'm not sure what you mean by hacks.
You don't know what a hack is?
You define it differently than he, Mr. Gold.
How do you understand a hack?
There's all kinds of definitions. If you'd be a little more specific, I can...
I'll try, sir.
Okay.
Has 2600 ever reported on a circumstance where a corporate or personal computer site was gotten into by any individual?
Are we talking about a web page being hacked?
Yes, to begin with.
Yeah, we've reported on web pages being hacked.
Tell me which of those you remember.
Well, let's see, there were a lot of Chinese web pages that got hacked. I remember the Department of Justice was hacked a while ago. NASA gets hacked every few months. Basically, quite a few companies that are on the net get hacked. I mean, it's almost a rite of passage. What we do, actually, we haven't done it in a while because we just don't have the staff to keep up with it. Other sites do a better job. But when a site gets hacked, someone notices it, sends us mail, and we capture it, we copy the files and post it in the library.
For what purpose?
To report on it, to show people this security failed. You know, this is what was put up on this site. What the motives are of people who do this is not something we try and pass judgment on. Some people do it as a political statement, some people do it because they're immature, you know, some people have, you know, nefarious you know, purposes, it's not our place to say, you know, this is done for this particular reason. We just show, or we did show, what it looks like, and if possible, how it was done, and what it was that failed.
And that's solely for the purpose of letting people know that it happened?
Yeah, it's a news story. I mean, the mainstream media does the same thing, except they generally lack the technical detail, and lots of times they don't provide specifics. And there's a lot of innuendo and a lot of, you know, hysteria that goes along with those reports that we try to avoid.
So do you, when you report on them, do you ever post an executable software utility?
Executable?
No, that's not how it works on a web page. It's just a graphical file.
Do you ever post algorithms in connection with those?
No.
Instances? Do you give any technical description
if we,
of those hacks?
If we receive technical information as to how it's done, yes, we provide that.
Do you make any difference in your own profession between journalism and civil disobedience?
I checked that.
Yes, I think there.
What is the difference that you make?
Well, journalism is reporting on something, obviously. Civil disobedience is taking a stand, a nonviolent stand, against something that you think is wrong. It's a sad day if journalism and civil disobedience become the same thing, but it has happened in some countries.
Do you remember ever writing in the 2600 publication that mirrors of DCSS were a demonstration of electronic civil disobedience?
Yes.
And what does that mean?
Basically means that despite the fact that we're being threatened by all kinds of powerful entities, for people, many of whom are very small, poor people, individuals around the world, for them to actually stand up and say this is wrong and stand up against those entities, to me that's an admirable thing. To me that's basically putting your beliefs in front of your personal safety, which is what civil disobedience is. It's lying down in front of bulldozers. It's you know, it's blocking streets and being arrested. This is a case of electronic civil disobedience where people say this is wrong, and I'm going to put my sight on the line because I believe it's wrong.
Does civil disobedience involve breaking the law for a cause you consider just?
I'll object to why don't you take the death penalty? Civil disobedience is a very complex thing.
Thank you so much, Mr. Gordon. That's very kind.
You also drew a distinction between his roles.
You're not testifying, Mr. Gordon. You're not testifying, Mr. Gordon. What about this question bothers you so much?
I have a question.
You have no awareness of what you're talking about. It's embarrassing. I would think you'd be embarrassed. Go ahead, Mr. Gordon.
I really need to hear the question again.
Does civil disobedience involve breaking the law for a cause you consider just?
Yes, I believe so. That's the definition of civil disobedience.
You understood my question, didn't you? Is that why you answered it?
I'm not going to take sides here, but...
Thank you, Mr. Gilstein. Has 2600 received any benefit from being a plaintiff in this action?
Defendant. They'd like to be defendant.
Well, morally, yes. We've found many, many people support us, and it's been very heartening to see that. It's also been pretty terrifying and sobering, knowing what we're up against. So I'd say there's a little of good and bad.
What are you up against?
Well, we're up against some pretty powerful entities. I mean, for instance, when we have media people who want to interview us, 9 times out of 10, turns out their parent company is suing us. So it's kind of hard to believe that fair stories will be written in cases like that.
Have any unfair stories been written about you?
Yeah, quite a few.
In what publication?
Oh, publication, I'm thinking specifically of MTV, which is owned by Viacom, did a really bad piece. That was last year, that was before this all happened, but it's something we're used to. We're used to bad media because they don't understand the issues and because they want the sensationalist headlines of saying, you know, hackers can do anything, and they don't do the research. We have had some very good pieces as well. We've had a good piece in the Village Voice and the New York Times. So it's worth the risk because I think we do get some reporters that understand what's going on.
Do you believe hackers can do everything?
No.
Didn't you say that any protective code would be uncovered, discovered, undone by hackers?
Yeah, hackers can figure things out, but it takes time. It doesn't mean they can do anything. It means that if a particular form of technology, very often written by hackers, can eventually be figured out, undone, defeated.
So the terrifying instances you're talking about are instances where newspapers write some story about you?
No, the terrifying things.
Mistaking the witness's testimony.
Yeah, the terrifying things are facing this kind of a lawsuit. Knowing that everything we've worked for over the past 15 or so years can be unraveled this easily, and that so much time and effort can be spent on this, and that our progress can be slowed down to nothing.
When was the anti-circumvention provision enacted into law, if you know? Was it 15 or 20 years ago?
No.
I take it, sir, that you... Well, is it true that you are terrified by the fact that some companies have brought a lawsuit against you alleging that you violated their rights?
It's the might that's focusing on us that's terrifying, not what they say we've done, because obviously we don't believe we've done anything wrong.
What has that might done to you other than file a lawsuit?
It's a psychological thing. It's knowing that everything, that so many entities are controlled by these eight companies. And for instance, we had problems with the bank because they had changed their policy towards internet sales, which we've started to get involved in. And the way that they suddenly decided that we were a risk to them made us wonder, one of these eight companies behind it. And it was very easy to find links between them and the eight companies because these eight companies are linked to everybody. So it's a psychological thing in that every time something bad happens, you wonder, is it because of, you know, some of these powerful people? I mean, you know, we all watch the movies. We know what kinds of evil things can go on. So your imagination can run away with you sometimes, but a lot of times it's accurate.
Some of us read newspapers and find out what terrible things have gone on.
Is that a question, Mr. Gold?
And isn't it a fact that some of us go to movies and find out that hackers have done terrible things if we believe what the movie is portraying?
If you believe what the movies portray about hackers, then there's not much I can say, really.
And who knows the truth about hackers other than you?
Objection is to form. Direct the witness, not to answer.
Not to answer or to answer? Okay. I'm sorry, could you repeat the question? So I make sure
Sorry,
I
right.
Who knows the truth about hackers other than you?
I don't think there is a truth. I think there are elements of truth, and I think, you know, I've got a few of those elements. I think a lot of people in the hacker community have a few of those elements. And unfortunately, I believe a lot of the media unfortunately, I believe a lot of the media doesn't really want to get the true story. They've written the story before they actually interview the people.
Is it true that some people believe that of you?
Oh, I'm sure some people do.
Depends on which side of the matter you want.
It depends what they believe when they read, absolutely.
Let me see, which am I looking for, ma'am? It's the May 3rd I'm looking for. So we got to search for May 3rd. Yeah, here it is. Thank you. Paragraph 13 of your May 3rd declaration. To the declaration.
Can you give me a copy? Yeah, I don't have that. That's all right.
Thank you, Paul.
Can you give me a copy?
Of course.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Wilson?
Can I just quickly go to the...
You want me to sit here timing how long I can... All right, now can you mark this as the next exhibit, sir? I guess we're getting to. Off the record, you two can take a break if you want.
I'm fine.
The time is 2:50 p.m. We're going off the record.
Order.
Time is 2:52 p.m. We're back on the record.
Is it true, sir, that you stated on the record a short while ago that you believed some bank you were trying to open an account in wouldn't do it, and you believed that was because they were owned by or connected to one of the plaintiffs? Do you remember that comment? I asked you if you wanted to let your witness answer. Did you state it or you didn't state it?
I stated that we had problems with the bank, and we, in our minds, had to wonder if that was caused because of an affiliation. In other words, any bad thing that happens to us, we have to wonder, you know, is there a connection? Because there are definitely connections. A lot of these corporations are linked together, and it's something to definitely be worried about. It's a psychological thing.
And you say that, you're serious about this, I gather, that anything bad that happens to you since this suit was started, you believe is the fault of the movie company?
It's not what the witness said.
No, it's...
I mean, you're just mistaken. He's been the subject of oppressive and vilified. He's a liar and a thief. How can that not have a consequence in effect with the banks?
You want to repeat what Mr. Gorbachev said? That he's told you what to say?
No, it's basically, you know, we investigated and found that there was no truth to that. But what I was trying to convey is that there's a psychological thing that goes on when you have all these powerful enemies, and you know it wouldn't be untrue to say that you become a little bit paranoid, and you start to worry about things that you know you wouldn't ordinarily worry about, and that's what I consider to be you know the scary part of this. And of course, I'm not saying that there aren't real threats out there. I'm sure there are. Well, I'm sure that this has had an effect on the fairness of the media coverage that we get.
Why are you sure of that, sir?
Because that's the nature. If a particular media outlet is owned by a different corporation, of course, on the record they will say that there's no effect, that ownership has no effect. But I think it's been proven time and again that ownership of media outlets does definitely have an effect. For instance, ABC is owned by Disney and has recently been accused of not airing stories that are critical of Disney, even though it was said at the time of Disney's takeover that there'd be no effect on news. When Time Warner purchased CNN, again, it was said that there'd be no effects, and I've heard allegations that there are. It's a common practice when corporations take over other corporations that there is some influence. So when you're dealing with things like the media, which I believe should be independent of all this, it's inevitable. And it's rather sad because I think the American people wind up losing.
On that note, Mr. Gould?
Don't confuse me. I'm good, but I'm not that good.
We can discuss that at a later time. But it's now approaching 3 o'clock. Should we take over?
Sure.
And tomorrow morning at 10?
Yeah. I'll be back by 10 at 10 again.
We done?
Yeah. We'll get that once in the morning.
Okay.
Do you have a sense without going to the
position? Not until I read this out. A lot of it. I mean, I think some of it already has been done. I hope it's fixed. I never. Then I get interested in it.